Hey, we're going to start a new series this morning I'm excited about. It's called Blessed. The background for the series is that this past week we were teaching in the Bible school. I was teaching a class in the Bible school. We have a Bible school, if you don't know. It meets on every Monday night. If you want to find out more information about that, just contact the office. Cool things have been going on all year. They'll be graduating in June. But we were teaching and finishing up a financial family series. On Monday night, and we had about 45 minutes or 50 minutes for another class. We finished the book, and so I just got praying and asking God, what do you want to be teaching during this time? And I just really was encouraged to go to the book of Genesis and start looking at God's account and how God worked with this first covenant man named Abram. We'll talk about him in just a moment. And begin looking at his life and what God did with him and what God did with his kids and what God did with his grandkids and what God did with his great-grandkids and finding out what God did with him, God wants to do with us. Amazing. And so that kind of started the cycle of kind of where we want to go for the next several weeks about this series just called Blessed. So wherever you're at today, no matter if you think that you're in a situation where it doesn't look to be blessed and it looks like you're cursed and it looks like you're under something and there's no way out, can I just tell you, before this series is done, you're going to throw your chest out or I don't know, and you're just going to be walking around going, don't be messed. Come on. You remember George Jefferson? Anybody remember George Jefferson? Come on. Anybody as old as me, George Jefferson? Come on. To that deluxe apartment in the sky? Come on. I'm moving on up to the east side, to that deluxe apartment in the sky. George Jefferson would throw his chest back and he'd just walk around the house, man. Come on, you'd be throwing your chest out saying, I am blessed. So come on, don't throw your chest out because that might be kind of freaky. But come on, just look at your neighbor and say, I'm blessed. Come on, I'm blessed. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Not because you're cute, although you are. Not because you got some money in your pocket, hope you do. Not because you came to church with spinny rims. You're blessed because of Jesus, everybody. Jesus blesses your life. Amazing. So let's start in the book of Genesis and let's see God's account and how God did it in the beginning. Because whatever God did in the beginning, God still wants to do today. We'll find out that even what God did in the beginning with this first guy called Adam, that he lost it through sin, we understand that. But then God comes in Genesis chapter 12, we'll read it in a moment, and God begins working this plan again in this guy called Abram, later known as Abraham. His name changed to Abraham. So pick up with me in Genesis chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, we have the scriptures behind me. Hope you downloaded YouVersion on your app store. Go to YouVersion and get your app store, and you can download all these translations for free. Genesis chapter 1, verse 21 through 22. God's already done lots of stuff. He's already created the day. He's already made the sun. He's already had all kind of things that he's got going on. But he comes to this day, and God says, let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, and every sort of bird, notice this, each producing offspring of the same kind. Very important. And God saw that it was good. He saw that it was good. Verse 22, then God blessed them. Notice this, God blessed them. God blessed them scurrying things. Come on, somebody. God blessed them swarming things. God blessed them flying things. And God said, be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. How many know that's still happening? Come on, how many of y'all know that's still happening? We got ostriches and we got flying things and we got sea creatures and we've got animals of all kinds and they're still multiplying. This thing is still working. So the blessing doesn't just stay dormant with an animal, bird, or fish. The blessing has got the power to reproduce. It's got the ability to reproduce. It always wants to reproduce. The blessing wants to grow. The blessing wants to increase. The blessing wants to flourish. God's put this in the nature of every animal, of every bird, of every fish, that it just doesn't stay the same. All the boy fish don't just swim with the boy fish. How many of the boy fish somehow, some way, find some girl fish? Come on, everybody. How many know that's true? Have you ever had rabbits? Come on, how many know?
When I was growing up, I had a female hamster. My hamster was named Libby, and my brother had a male hamster, and his name was Kirby. And how many know we put Kirby and Libby together for just a short while, and how many know they had about 11 or 12 little people coming around? Why? The blessing was working. The blessing was working that God set in motion. They don't have to be smart. They don't have to figure everything out, but there's something that says we got to get hooked up. We got to connect. Anyway, we don't want to go there, but that's a whole other word in our generation. Anyway, okay. So what we find out is that wherever this blessing goes, the blessing multiplies. That's something you need to know. Wherever the blessing goes, the blessing multiplies. And the blessing isn't just for an animal kingdom, isn't just for the fish kingdom, isn't just for the bird kingdom, isn't for the reptile kingdom. We're going to find out that this blessing is going to be working in the man kingdom, the mankind kingdom. So this is wherever this blessing goes, it's got the power to reproduce after its same kind, is what God said. And I want you to fill the seas. I want you to fill the air. I want you to fill the land. That is still working today. And so again, wherever it goes, it's increasing, it's expanding, it's enlarging, it's multiplying. It's not staying dormant. I want you to see that. It's not staying dormant. So whenever God blesses your life, what you're going to find out that what God did in the animal kingdom, we're going to find out in a moment, he's doing in the man kingdom, that it's not just to be for yourself. It's not for you to get puffy. It's not for you to just have all the blessing yourself. It's so that there'll be increase through you. There'll be something that you then are carrying in your life, but is then propagated through your life to cause blessing and increase to somebody else. Can somebody say amen to that? So let's look at it working in the man. Let's look at what he says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. So God's not through. God starts coming. He starts talking to what's going to happen with man. Let us. Then God said, let us. So let us, just by way of definition, again, we sang a song today about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Here's where we see this word us. Let us. Let us. More than just God is God the Father. But now we've got God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let us, a triune God, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. He, in the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. Notice, he created and then he blessed. He created and then he blessed. He blessed them, and he said to the man, to this creation, these human beings, the man and the woman, he created them and said, be fruitful and multiply. We found that out. He told the animal kingdom to do that. And he said, fill the earth. We find out he told the animal kingdom to do that. But then he says something different to this mankind made in his image. Let them be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. So listen to me. We find right here that Darwin's theory of evolution, of where we came from something, is completely out of kilter with biblical theology and truth. You did not come from an animal. You did not come from an amoeba. You did not come from some little scurrying thing all of a sudden grew some legs and all of a sudden started coming upright. You didn't come. You were made in the image and the likeness of God. So he tells mankind, though, something he didn't tell the animal kingdom. He tells mankind, yeah, go ahead and be fruitful. Yeah, multiply. Yeah, fill the earth. But he says, govern it. Govern it. Govern it. In other words, another translation says, subdue it, subdue it, subdue it. Put it under your authority. And then he says, to reign over or have dominion. Reign over this kingdom. Reign over the earth that I've now placed you in. He doesn't tell the animals to reign. He doesn't tell the animals to govern. He gives that assignment to you and me, made in his image. So in your life, in this thing called the blessing of God in your life, carries with it in your life, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, it carries in your life the ability for things to multiply, for things to increase, for things to be filled in your life with the purpose and plan of God. In your life now is the ability for you to govern situations and subdue things that do not line up with the will of God. In your life is the ability to reign, to have dominion, and to have things that are out of order to be brought back into order. It makes no difference how old you are, how young you are, what your background is, who you grew up with, who you didn't grow up with, how much money's in your pocket, what your education is or what your education is not. The minute you realize God has pronounced a blessing on your life, that now you can rule, you can reign. In other words, let me just say it this way. You can win in life. You can win. Things can change. Things don't have to stay the same. Because God gives this assignment to this man, and then we find that there's this enemy that has been kicked out of heaven called Lucifer. And Lucifer shows up in the form of a serpent and starts messing with the woman, and we find out that God has told this man now, keep out of the garden, was supposed to be kept out of the garden. Let in the garden, was supposed to be let in the garden. You are to subdue, you are to rule, you are to reign this creation that I've given to you. You have the power to do it. Animals don't. I mean, animals are going to defend some territory that they've been given, but I've given you the dominion over them and over anything else. Now, if you want to see the blessing on your life, you're going to have to buck up and you're going to have to keep out what's supposed to be kept out. So we find, I mean, you know, it doesn't take much to figure out that we find that serpent came in, messed with woman, and then messed with the man, and there was a separation between God and his creation, and God actually drove them out of the garden. The Bible says put an angel, man, that's got a flaming sword, and man, these dudes couldn't go back in the garden to keep them out. It's just amazing, but drove them from that place. And we find this thing called the curse now is working in the earth that God blessed. And we find this thing called the curse working in a man and working in the woman and working in the ground. Now the Bible says the ground is cursed. What used to bring forth abundance, it's going to bring forth weeds. It's going to bring forth toil. It's going to bring forth thorns. And by the sweat of your brow, you're going to have to beat this earth to make it work. Come on, listen. This earth ain't all that great. Let me tell you, as great as it is, stick around for the new heaven and new earth. Come on, everybody. The Bible says this, that this stuff that we see, boom, going to be burned up with fervent heat. And God's going to have a new planet for us. Come on, somebody, raise the roof for a new planet. Come on, no curse on this planet. Come on, no curse on this new planet. Come on, everybody, work with me today. Work with me. I know it's Sunday morning. He says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. God's assignment. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Subdue it, govern it, reign, have dominion over. You have the ability now, as a child of God, and we're going to make the connection that God did with this first man, Adam, and that God's now going to do because he lost this blessing, we should say. He lost it by advocating and listening to the lies of the enemy. He lost his place with God, lost his rulership with God, even though God was working him. Yet we see this thing called the curse working in the earth. So let's get a good kind of working definition for what this word blessed means. It means several things. Let's give you a real long one, then we'll give you a short one. This word blessed means to be endued with power for success, to be endued with power for success, for prosperity and longevity. To be endued with power. Then when God says, I'm going to bless your life, he says, I'm going to endue you with power, I'm going to clothe you with power, I'm going to give you power that's going to produce success in your life. You can have success in your life, in your marriage, success as a parent. You can have success in the occupation I've given you. And I want to have prosperity in your life. Now, when we think about prosperity in our culture, we're always thinking about, give me another dollar an hour raise. There's nothing wrong with that, and that's part of it. But prosperity simply means it will be well with you. It's going to be well with you. And in this blessing, in this word blessing means longevity. In other words, it's not going to be something short. Not going to, your life is going to have meaning. Your life is going to have purpose, and there could be a length of days in your life. And days worth living. Days worth living. So somebody came up with this phrase, and I've liked it. I've kind of adopted it to myself for the last 20 years or so. Shortened this to simply say, the word blessed means empowered to prosper. So come on, look at your neighbor and say, I'm empowered to prosper. Come on, just tell them that. I'm empowered to prosper. Come on, come on. You got to look like I'm like George Jefferson all. Come on. I'm empowered to prosper. Come on, tell them that. I'm empowered to prosper. It's just who, come on, tell them that. I'm empowered to prosper. It's just who I am. It's just, I'm not trying to be, I'm not arrogant about it, I'm not cocky, I'm not, you know, I'm not looking at nobody at Starbucks and say, how are you doing today? I'm empowered to prosper. I'm not freaking anybody out, but it's just who you are. Come on, it's just who you are. Come on, it's just who you are. You just think different, you just act different, you start talking different, you just start expecting different. I'm blessed. Maybe I'll start walking that way when I turn 80. I don't know. Now, something interesting about both these accounts, and we'll read one more. God blessed the animal kingdom, all that. Then God blessed the man, but God gave the man a different assignment because the man's been made in God's image and God's likeness. Animal kingdom was not. Whole different level. But we find something in the book of Genesis, and we'll find it all throughout the entire Bible, is that the blessing is always released through words. It's always released through words. And so we find in the book of Genesis, we'll find where like, for instance, you read stuff where Jacob was dying. And Jacob gathers all his kids together. And he blesses them with a prophetic word. So can I just tell you that there's something in this blessing that you have got at your disposal the minute you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Be you young, be you old, be you male, be you female, be you whatever race or ethnicity you are, you have got something in your life that when you speak words, they've got the power to bless. Listen to me now. But when you speak words, you've also got the counter of that, the ability to curse. So here's where it gets thick. You better make sure what you're cursing, you really want cursed. What do you mean? Stinking Julio, you ain't never gonna amount to nothing. You don't never do your homework. You don't never pay attention. You don't never listen. And Julio goes, that's exactly right. Thank you for cursing me. You got the power. I got the power. Make sure you're releasing the blessing of the Lord. Make sure. In Genesis chapter 2, let's look at this. Genesis chapter 2. We find in creation this third account where God is speaking about blessing, not only for the animal kingdom, the fish kingdom, the bird kingdom, not only for the man, but he does something here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, and he says this, on the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day, notice he blessed the seventh day and declared the seventh day holy, because it was the day that he rested from all his work of creation. Can I just, you know, like the preacher said, you're talking to the choir because I'm talking to y'all and y'all are here on this day. But let me just kind of let me throw this out at you that you can help me help some folks who aren't here. This day, today, God said, not Gary, God said, is a holy day and it's got to be holy to you. Listen, it's not another day. It's not a normal day. Sunday is not a normal day. It's not like Saturday. It's not like Tuesday. It's not like Thursday. Sunday is a different kind of day when now you have decided to come to where God has said, I blessed the seventh day. I've blessed the day of rest. I've blessed the time that's different than any other day. And if you will come to what I've blessed, you will get the blessing of my blessing.
You know, I'm just, come on, let me get on my soapbox, like they say, for a little bit. I'm just really kind of challenged and disturbed a little bit, maybe a lot, about how far society has gotten away and moved away from this day, this day. You know, gosh, I'm not that old, but I guess old enough now. Man, there's all, I realize there's all kind of things now that are vying for your attention on this day. If you got kids, can I tell you what's going to happen? If your kid is playing sports, they're going to have sports stuff on this day. They're going to have sports stuff on this day. And let me just take it another level. Some of y'all got family members, and they know you come to church, and they do stuff, and they throw parties, and they throw all kind of stuff on this day. And I'm thinking, do whatever you want to do on Saturday. I show up every Saturday, but don't mess with me on this day. And if you want me coming, don't be coming out during my church time. I'll come out, but don't think I'm coming during that time, because I've got to do and be a part of what God said. I blessed this day. I just say, you know, kudos to you. You're in the right place. You're in the right place, because on this day, rest is going to come to your spirit. Spiritual refreshing is going to come on this day. Recalibration. I get thinking right. Things get taken off my life. Things get put into my life on this day. My thinking gets changed. My believing gets changed. My hopes get reinvigorated. My faith gets strengthened. I get to hang around with some other people that are going through some things. We get to pray together. We get to see each other. We get to encourage one another. And so listen to me. That on this day, that there will be a fight for you to be at this place. On this day, you got to know it. You got to know it. There will be a fight for you. Your kids will fight you. Society will fight you. Your job will fight you. Your friends will fight you. Come on, all kind of things. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about, you know, the special things that go on. I'm talking about where you start going. You just start going through the list and go, man, everybody got a birthday party and they celebrate it on Sunday. Everybody got an anniversary and they come on Sunday. Everybody got a sporting event for all my kids and it's all on Sunday. Somewhere along the line, you just got to say, no. This day is holy to God. And this day is the day He blessed. And the Bible says on this day, He rested. And if I will do what He did, I'll get what He got. Come on, if you're going to clap, let's not golf clap. Let's go ahead and clap then. Yeah, yeah. Now, God didn't rest because He was tired. Come on, somebody. God went after creation. God, my God, all the animals, all the sun and the moon. Whoo, dear God, I'm tired. And so I'm going to rest. God didn't rest because He's tired. God rested to reflect and to ponder and to consider creation. So when you come to church on this day, it's to reflect and to ponder, to think about your life, to think about your God, to think about your direction, and to come and to worship and to hear something that's going to change you in the next season of your life. Can you say amen? Amen. So God says He rested. The Bible says He rested. God tells us He rested. He sat down, He was still. And so we see this in the nation of Israel. We see this in the Old Testament, that you see a word called the Sabbath. The Sabbath. It's a holy day. It's a day of rest. It's why we meet today. It's why the first day of a week starts with Sunday. It doesn't start with Monday. It starts with Sunday. So if you do what you're supposed to do on the first, you'll get the blessing for the rest of the week. So, again, I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about anything that didn't come up. I'm not talking about special parties and special things that's good for you to be. I'm talking about in the mindset where you just kind of think, this is just another day. I do whatever I want to do. I can go shopping. I can go to Macy's in the morning because I got the coupon and they got the sale on. Listen, and can I say, just leave it alone. God will take care of you. All the husbands are poking the wives. Did you hear that, Myrtle? Did you hear that? Man. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. We doing all right, everybody? Genesis 12. Genesis chapter 12. Let's see this blessing now working in this guy who shows up.
kind of out of nowhere on the pages of the Bible. We find that God starts coming to this guy called Abram. And his name later gets changed to Abraham. And notice what it says. It says, the Lord says in chapter 12, verse 1 to Abram, leave your native country. Now, again, come on. Listen, we don't know how God did this. We don't know if God just kind of showed up in a cloud. We don't know how God's talking to the brother here, because it doesn't really tell us. But all of a sudden, he just starts talking to him. He chose him. Abram just starts paying attention to this voice, to this God. He says, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family. Go to land I'm going to show you. I'm going to make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you'll be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So we see here in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, we see that when God calls you, when God calls this guy, associated with the calling is this thing called the blessing. The blessing. Abram didn't work for anything. Abram didn't beg God for anything. Abram didn't earn anything. God just simply says, hey, dude, this brother, by the way, used to live in Ur of the Chaldees. Read the previous chapter. And church historians tell us they used to worship the moon god. And so God says, I don't care what kind of moon god you used to worship. I don't care what it looks like. You are my choice. You are my assignment. My love is going to be set on you, and you are going to be something you aren't currently right now. I am going to bless your life. So I don't know if you're a moon worshiper here today, but that's all right. In the middle of it all, God's going to bless your life. What amazing hope. What amazing hope. God comes to him, and God starts talking to him, and God starts working his perfect will and purpose in his life. And this guy, come on, everybody, don't have a Bible. He's not going to church. He didn't know anything about keeping the day of rest and holy. He didn't know anything about this stuff. And yet God's got an assignment for his life. Now, what we got working, like we said a moment ago, is that God calls the first guy, Adam and Eve, and God begins working this blessing in their life, and they're fruitful and multiply, filling the earth, and they're subduing and they're having dominion, but then it was lost through sin. But then God comes back, and God starts working his perfect plan in this man called Abram. Even though the curse didn't go away, the curse, the earth is still cursed. Even though we see sin, we see crazy stuff going on in the earth, but God's got a man who is listening to him now. God's got a man who's not perfect, but whose heart's directed toward him, and God's got a man where now this blessing of God is being worked in. So listen to me. The blessing of God is disproportional to the effects of the curse in Adam's fall. In other words, where the curse was, the blessing just didn't kind of come over, just covered a little bit. It's disproportional. The blessing in Abram's life is equal to the blessing that was in Adam's life. Let me say it again. The blessing in Abram's life is equal to the blessing in Adam's life. It could not be any less. Even though Adam lived in a place where there was no curse, the blessing is the same, because Adam was a man created by God, and Abram is a man created by God. Come on, marinate. Come on, just think for a second. Come on, just think. We got to think in church. We got to think in church. So here, if God blessed Adam with this blessing, and now God is blessing Abram with this blessing, but God gives Abram something less, would that be just? Of course not. And so listen to me. The blessing that Adam walked in, the blessing this Old Testament guy Abram walked in, is the very same blessing you can walk in. All right, three things God tells him. Look on the screen. Maybe write them down. Number one, he says, leave your native country. Leave your native country. God tells Abram that. In other words, what he's telling him is, get out of the world's economy. Get out of this thing of limited. Get out of this thing of fear. Get out of this thing of worry. Get out of this thing of shortage.
leave your country. Everything that you have in your life is associated with your country. The way you do things, the way you barter, the way you buy, the way you sell, get out of that. Get out of that lifestyle. Get out of that system. That system. Number two, he says, leave your relatives. Leave your relatives. What's he saying? Get out of the thought pattern of your family that you grew up with. Wow, we all have been limited. We all have been kept. We all have been bound by thought patterns of our families. Thought patterns of, you're never going to do it. No one goes to college. Da-na-na-na. You can't have enough. You can't be who now. All this stuff that we grow up with. We grow up with. And so God tells him, for me to do what I want to do in your life, you've got to leave your relatives. You've got to leave the way they think. You've got to leave the way they expect. You've got to challenge yourself in that area. And the third thing he says is that he says, you've got to leave your father's family. You've got to leave that natural name. You have been identified as under your father, Tehran. You got to, that's not who you are now. I've called you. In fact, God says, I've called you so much, I'm going to change your name. Change your name. New identity. Don't identify yourself with the homeboys, and don't identify yourself with the sisters, and don't identify yourself with the way you used to be. You're a new person because Jesus is now the Lord of your life. So he says, for you to understand that, for you to understand that, you've got to leave that. You've got to change. There's got to be a change in your mind. There's got to be a change in your location, he told him. And there's got to be a change in your identity with the way you used to be. You've got the power to change. That's what's so amazing to me, is that we've got the power to change. Come on, everybody. Amazing. And God says this to him. God says, I will show you. I'll show you. Abram, I'm going to show you where you're to be. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to direct you. I will show you. He says, I'm going to make you into who I created you to be. You're going to discover the uniqueness that I have for you and the call on your life. I'm going to show you. I'm going to make you. And he says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you with power for success, prosperity, longevity. I'm empowering you, Abram, to prosper. Man, amazing, amazing. So God is restoring to Abram what was lost by Adam. He's restoring this thing called being blessed, the blessing. Being able to go through life and saying, God, you're going to show me. I don't know what to do right now, but you said you'll make a way where there is no way. You lead me, guide me, and direct me. You're a good shepherd. You said in John chapter 10 that I'm one of your sheep. Sheep hear your voice. The voice of the deceiver, I don't follow. I don't follow my flesh. I don't follow my past. I just don't follow friends. I don't follow good advice. I follow God. Amen. You're going to show me. You're going to make me. I don't feel good right now. I got stuff in my life I'm dealing with. I got baggage in my life that I'm bringing from the Chaldees. I still got some moon worship stuff I'm dealing with. I still got some needles up my arms where I was shooting. I still got some stuff on my life. I'm trying to break habits in my life. But God, you said you'd make me be who you want me to be. Lord God, I receive that today. Man. And every day you got to bust it. And every day you got to believe it. And every day you got to say, I am empowered to prosper today. My relationships, my mind, my body, my business, the call of God on my life, I'm empowered to prosper. Wow. And God says to this brother, look what he says. He says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. He's not done talking to him. How many do you get with God? God will be talking to you. God's doing lots of talking here. He says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Now, if you know what's going on, the brother's childless. At the time of this, in Genesis chapter 12, Abe's 75 and Mama's 65. And the Bible says both their bodies were shut down. Come on, we don't need to go any further, do we? Come on. Everybody's shut down. Nobody can do. Nobody's functioning. Nobody's producing eggs and the other things are going on. Not happening. It's not happening. But God says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Come on, how many know God will just challenge you? When you read the word, you got to go,
wow, this is what you say, but this is what I feel. This is what I see. And God is telling this man, Abram, this is how I'm going to bless you. This is how I'm going to show you. This is how I'm going to make you to be something you're not. You have got to wrap your head around what I've said about you. Whew. And he says this, I'm going to bless you to bless others. Abram, I don't need you being greedy. Don't need you hoarding. Don't need you taking. It's unacceptable. I'm going to bless you with so much, you're going to be a blessing to other people. I'm going to give you peace in your life that you're going to be able to be a peaceful person to other people. I'm going to give you love in your life, acceptance in your life, that you're going to be able to dispense that to other people. Abram, I'm going to bless you with resources so that make a difference. What goes on in your life, you're going to realize that I am your source and you're going to be able to release blessing of resources to other people. And he says, thirdly, I will defend you. I will defend you. He tells him here, I'm going to defend you. No curse can stop you. No enemy can stop you. You can't be overcome with evil because my blessing is on your life. My blessing. I've called you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to make you who you're not. This blessing that God blessed the animal kingdom to reproduce, God blesses this first man, Adam, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, reign over it, have dominion. And now we see that God blesses this day. And we see even after the curse was going on, now that this blessing is still working again in this first covenant man, this man that the Bible says is a man that we look to that's actually called the father of our faith, that we look to his example, far from perfect, tried to pawn his wife off a couple times. Come on, how many of you know that's not good? You know, but God's still working in the brother because his heart is directed continually towards God. It's amazing what we find out that in Genesis chapter 12, after God tells him all this stuff, we find out when you read it that Abram builds two altars of worship to God in the middle of it all. Abram's heart isn't attached to God showing him stuff, to God making him somebody, or God blessing him. His heart is attached to God who's doing this. Listen to me. I've seen this time and time again as a pastor. All of a sudden, God starts showing people stuff. God starts blessing people. God starts making them feel good about themselves and ridding them of stuff in their life, addictions in their life, and their life starts changing. Then the people start finding other things to take the place of the God who brought them out. Make sure that's not you. Make sure your heart keeps following after God. Amen. Come on, let's bring this plane down this morning. This blessing is threefold. This blessing, number one, is spiritual. It's a spiritual blessing. Hard to put your finger on it, but listen, it works intangibly. You can't feel it sometimes. You just can't see it. It's not revealed to your five senses. This blessing is spiritual. It's from God's kingdom. It's where you see something in the Word of God and you start working it in your life and you don't know how, but it starts working in your life. The Bible calls the Word of God seed. Peter calls it incorruptible, indestructible seed. That when it's planted in your life, planted in your heart, it will begin reproducing 30, 60, and 100-fold. The blessing is spiritual. It's not luck. It's not chance. It's not happenstance. It's not being at the right place at the right time. It's not karma. Listen, the blessing is something from God. Come on, everybody. That's revealing your sonship, revealing your identity, revealing your purpose, revealing your destiny, revealing the call of God on your life. The blessing of God, it's spiritual. Number two, the blessing of God is physical. It's physical. It'll work in your body. The blessing of God that we find, that healing's in this thing called the blessing. Mending, restoring damage of disease or anything that the curse has brought. Anywhere where there's damage, anywhere where there's deficiency, anywhere where things in our bodies don't line up to the will and the purpose of God. Because the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Thank God for that. But the Bible also says that your body belongs to God. How many know if God can fix the earth, God can fix your body? Yeah, he can. And lastly, this blessing is material.
is material. Not only, but it's part of it, that this material thing, that God works in the earth with abundance and provision and favor. He works that way. It's what He does. And so you got to realize that part of the blessing is where things are going to work for your life that don't necessarily or aren't working maybe in someone else's life. And not only that maybe where you see, well, golly, they're not living for the Lord and they sure look blessed. But the Bible says this, the blessing of the Lord will bring no sorrow with it. There's something about having lots of stuff, but you got lots of sorrow. You got lots of pain. You got lots of difficulty. You got lots of challenges that somebody else doesn't have that knows Jesus. So listen to me. The blessing of the Lord will work in a material way while you're on the earth. And the blessing will always point you towards the source, who is Jesus Christ. Wow. So let's connect the dots. Two last scriptures in closing. Listen. Because, I mean, I'm asking this question myself. Okay, God, I see you working at Adam. And I kind of make the connection, Adam the first man, and I read in 1 Corinthians 15 that there's a second man came named Jesus. The first man, the second man, is what he says. And now, after our likeness, we are after the first man, Adam. We're made like that. But now, Corinthians says we're after the second man, Jesus Christ. Born again nature on the inside. So I get that. But what's up with this Abram thing? Okay, you bless him and okay, come on, Pastor Gary. You know, I'm asking myself this. So I'm talking for you. Come on, Pastor Gary. God just took this moon worshiping dude and God's just saying, hey, I like you, I'm gonna choose you. Poof, there it is, man. I'm gonna show you, I'm gonna make you, I'm gonna bless you. I'm going to make your name great. Yeah, you can't have kids, but I'm going to work in you, and you're going to believe me, and from you is going to be a nation. I know you just want one kid, but I'm going to do something exceeding abundantly above and beyond all you can ask or think. But Pastor Gary, that's for that brother right there. Or is it? Does it stop with that brother? Glad you asked. Galatians 3, verse 9. All who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Wow. Come on. I get the same blessing. I get the same blessing. I get the same blessing just by saying yes to Jesus. Yes. Yes. Verse 29. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. You get the same blessing. The same promise he has, you get. What promise? I'm going to show you where to go in life. I'm going to make you something you're not. And in the middle of it all, realize you are blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. Everywhere you go, realize you're blessed. Well, so next week, we'll show you some situations in this brother's life. One particular where we see the blessing working. Working. And if it's working for him, we just read it. The same blessing is available to me. Available to you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Read the Bible. It's an amazing book. It's more than just to put you to sleep at night. Come on, everybody, read the Bible. Read the Bible. Come on, let's pray. Father God, tonight we thank you that we have access to the blessing of God. We have access to the blessing of Abraham. Father, I thank you today for people in the room right now that it looks like things aren't working. It looks like things are under a curse. Father God, I pray that they're going to start releasing words of blessing over situations. They're going to start calling things that be not as though they already were. They're going to start, as we sang today, Lord God, we're going to start saying, it's well with me. It's well, it's well, it's well. It's well with my soul. It is well. Lord, you're at work. So I'm going to start speaking life over my family, life over my body, life over my marriage. I'm going to release the word of God. I'm going to release the blessing of God. Father God, tonight, we're going to cooperate with what you've already blessed so we can receive the blessing of your blessing. We're not going to work against it. We've decided on this day, these people that are here, we've decided to keep this day as holy. So there's rest that comes to our spirit, our soul, our body. There's strength that comes to us today because we've decided that this day is a holy day. A holy day. Father, we thank you today that our inner world, our inner man, our spirit man is receiving life and it's changing our outer world. So we're not limited. We're not confused. We're not frustrated. We're not worried. We're not fearful. We're not negative. We're not critical. We're people of hope and expectation. If you worked in a man who worshiped a moon god, who didn't even know you, what will you do in a man or a woman, a teenager, that trusts you? So, Father, we're going to leave our country. We're going to leave the way the world thinks, the way the world operates. Maybe some of us need to leave the thought patterns of how we grew up. Be limited by that anymore. Father, we're going to leave our father's family, our identity, our name. We want to receive the name of our new Father, our Father God, identified with you. Father, today, I thank you that the blessing of the Lord makes us rich and has no sorrow with it. That we are empowered to prosper in every area of our life, our family, with our business, with the career choice you have for us, with the gift and call of God in our life, that it prosper. We believe the blessing is working in our lives, in Jesus' name. Come on, one more second, just keep your head bowed. Would you do that? Just give everyone the right to privacy all around you. Just want to pray for you right before we go. Come on, just 60 more seconds. Do you know Jesus?